told by someone at the far end of the row here that this Sunday is National Grandparents Day. And I think he just wanted me to know that so Brandon wouldn't forget. When I was a little bitty boy, stuff up off the floor. I used to go down to Grandma's house every month and the so. We'd have chicken pie, country ham, homemade butter on the bread. But the best darn thing about Grandma's house was a great big feather bed. It was 9 feet high, 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made of the feathers of four lemon geese and a whole row full of tick. It could hold 8 kids of four hound dogs and a piggy we stole from the shed. Oink, oink, and there it came from, but we had a lot of fun. Grandma's feather bed. Was that too much for you, Brandon? Should I not do the ad-lib?
No, go ahead.
I thought it was kind of cute. After supper, we sit around the fire, old folks spit and chew. Paul talk about the farm and the war, and Grandma think about old two. I'd sit and listen and watch the fire till the cobwebs filled my head. Next thing I know, I'd wake up in the morning in the middle of the old feather bed. It was 9 feet high, 6 feet wide, as soft as a downy chick. It was made of the feathers of four lemon geese and a whole row for the tick. It could hold 8 kids of four hound dogs and a piggy wee and feather shed. Oink, oink. We have a lot of fun, Grandma's feather bed. I'm kind of digging that lamp from getting over here. Well, I love my ma, and I love my pa, and I love Granny Grandpa, too. I've been fishing with my uncle, wrestling with my cousin, and I even kissed Aunt Sue. And whenever I had to make a choice, think it ought to be said, that I'd trade them all, plus a gal down the road for Grandma's feather bed. It was 9 feet high, 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of four living geese and a whole rug rope for the take. It could hold 8 kids and 4 hound dogs and a piggy we stole from the shed. Oink, oink. And didn't get sleep, but we had a lot of fun. Grandma's feather bed. We didn't get sleep, but we had a lot of fun. Grandma's feather bed. Step into the water,
way out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of his love.
Step into the water,
way out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
It's time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time to square our shoulders back and raise our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon, the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field.
Oh, step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the water.
There's victory for the Christian who walks a narrow way. There's been a prize awarded for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I can be. That I can rest with him forever, to live eternally. Oh,
step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the water of his love. Step into the water.
For you are my God.
seek your face with all of my heart. And I will seek your face with all of my mind. And I will seek your face with all of my strength. For you
Gosh, welcome everyone. Nice to see everybody here. How are you feeling? Okay, all right. Because remember, because you're a little green around the gills when I last saw you. Good. These are good things. That's always good. John, how's the family? Family good for you? Good. So, what grade is Sarah now? Is she officially? Wow, is she doing the college thing or what's she doing? Excellent. That's really good. Really good. That's good to see you, man. It's been a long time. It's been a really long time. John and I go way back. Way back. Actually, John really needs to be up here with this. Is where John needs to be. That's how cool John. All you guys can do these things, but they all got it. Well, you know, somebody had a marker in here, and I don't know if this is where God wants me to be or not. One of the things I usually do on Thursday nights, if I don't have anything prepared, which is most of the time, I just let, which is exactly what you know, what God did on Sunday, you know, and so it's, so that was probably my training, I guess, for Sunday. So for that, this actually opened up right to Proverbs on me. Now there was, it was a marker in here, and it's Proverbs 18. Why not? Let's see what God does with this. Okay, so Proverbs 18: an unfriendly man pursues selfish ends, and he defies all sound judgment. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Okay, this is a life thing, right? Because we all come across unfriendly people at times. And sadly, sometimes it ends up being the people we love, right? Our loved ones, you know, our temper. Why are our tempers so doggone short with our loved ones? When it should be the other way around, right? We expect, oh, that's a good one. We expect more. Okay. Actually, that's pretty well said. Speak, brother. Come on, this is wide open. Okay, we got to talk on that then. Why don't you come up here, John? Come up. I'm serious. Come up here, man. Come up here. Come here, man. Come here. Come here. Now, you're looking at that. And this is why loving God does this stuff, all right? I mean, he pops it open. It pops open here. All right? Zero in on something, brother, and share with us.
So it just says something.
Have you had the experience of recent? You still doing the sales thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Traveling salesman. Stereotypical, right? Stereotypical travel salesman? He's not stereotypical. Believe me, he's not stereotypical. He ministers. He shares the love. How was your week, man? You get to witness to anything? How many people did you witness to this week?
You know what? I haven't been cold. I've been really cold.
Well, you know what? That's why you're here then, brother, to get refired back up, all right? Yeah. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Sit down, man. I might need to tug on you. I'm sorry. You know, he's got his place. That's okay. He knows where he wants to sit, right? Wow, it's all good. All right, but all right, and I like what Sandy said there. You know, why is it, especially with our loved ones, we're so short-tempered, right? I think you nailed it. We expect more, and but why do we expect more? It's because we think that they should know us better, and therefore just forget. But the problem is they know us too well, right? And we know them too well, and we know the triggers, and the enemy has just always got something. Isn't that just amazing? There's always, the enemy's always looking for your trigger point. Looking for somebody to look at you the wrong way. Looking for somebody to say the wrong thing to you. Something that's just going to make you mad. And when we're mad in the flesh, remember the word tells us whatever seems right to a man, right? So in the flesh, what do we want to do? We want to get angry. We want to make them feel as bad as we're feeling now, right? There's that level of fairness and equality, but bless God, he's not this fair. If God treated us the way we should be treated, we wouldn't be blessed, guys. You know that, because we're all sinned. Romans 3:23, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So here we are in this fallen world, trying to get this thing figured out. Let's see what else he's got to tell us. Well, the second one right there: a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Got that one? A fool finds no pleasure. Fool doesn't want to understand, right? They get more pleasure out of seeing them aggravate you. All right? They sit there with a hot stick and they keep poking. All right? And they don't want to understand. That's why God calls them a fool. Actually, hang on. God spoke through Solomon on this. Verse 3, when wickedness comes, so does contempt. And with shame comes disgrace. You see how God's tying that all together. Wickedness, contempt, shame, disgrace, all the negatives, right? So the people that like to hang out in the negative element, you reap what you sow. The word tells us this, right? We reap what we sow. When we bless, we receive blessings. When we curse, we receive curses, all right? When we put something in the ground, when we go to plant corn, we expect corn to come up, right? We don't expect tomatoes and cucumbers and everything else. We expect corn. But when we're planting these seeds, that's what you're going to get. You plant seeds of discord, of evil, of malice, these are going to come back. But you know, God tells us, right? He tells us to bless those who curse you. In Romans 12, it tells us, that we are to bless those who curse us, because when we bless them, we're essentially taking hot coals and putting it on their head, right? You know, because good overcomes evil. Good always overcomes evil. And as tough as it is, as much as we want to go ahead and hit them back, tailgate them again, run them over, replace their starters, you know, do whatever. Inside jokes, guys. Oh, it's all good. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a babbling brook. Ooh, do that one again. So the words of a mouth are deep waters, right? Deep has a lot of power to it. But the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Now, bubbling brook, think about a bubbling brook. You think about the water kind of bubbling over, right, over the rocks, and it's flowing, right? But deep water doesn't really flow much, does it? There's not much flow to it. So that's what God's telling us here. He says the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It means it's going to travel far, it's going to travel fast, it has good influence. Again, the good over that. Ever and clean. Excellent. Excellent. That's very well said. Very well said. You're absolutely right. It's clean. In verse 5, okay, it is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the innocent of justice. All right? So, of course, God, that's kind of self-explanatory, right? God said it's not good to be partial to the wicked. In other words, don't show them favor. All right? Or to deprive the innocent of justice. In other words, when there's been a wrong done, obviously God's going to take care of this. But remember, we got to overcome evil with good. All right. Oh, here we go. Verse 6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. I got to like this King Solomon dude, don't you? All right. A fool's lip brings him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Man. I don't even have to ask for a show of hands. I know everybody lift their hand. Yeah, I can think many a time I wanted to smack somebody upside. Yeah, because verse 7, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So because they're speaking evil, their soul ends up being trapped in evil. And it's a wicked, it's a spiral that goes out, and the only way you get free from all that stuff is by just giving it over to Jesus, right? I mean, God is making it real clear through this. This is a funky... So you have Proverbs 18 on your phone there, John. Huh? Okay. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. That's a sad reality, isn't it? Is it, man? All right, let's expand on that. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They're tasty. They go down to a man's inmost parts. So, as we listen to all this gossip, right? And typically, what is gossip? Gossip is rarely a good gossip, right? It's usually something negative. You know, can't believe that they did this. Can you know that so and so was doing? Fake news. Well said, fake news. Oh wow. Verse 9: One who is slack in his words is brother to one who destroys. So being slack in your words. You kind of get the big theme on this, about talking about words and speech and what our thoughts are. There's a lot of wisdom, of course, in here. I like this one here. Verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. How about that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. All right? So that's one of the things I really like about singing like songs like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're declaring that. We're declaring and saying, God, you are a rock. You are a strong tower. We give you praise. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They can imagine it in an unscalable wall. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. So the wealth, of course, is their strength. That's what they put their hope in, right? They put their hope in their riches. But you remember Jesus made it really clear. You want to store up riches in heaven, right? Because anything you store on this earth, you're not taking with you. It's just flat not going. That's not going to happen. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. That's actually pretty popular when a lot of us have heard before. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. So pride comes before the fall, right? So how many times have we found ourselves over the years have we fallen into that trap? You know? Where you end up seeing someone boasting and saying how great they are. Remember, Remember as kids, we'd play King of the Hill, right? At least guys would. King of the Hill, right? That was a pride thing. I'm on top of the hill. And what was the objective? Knock them down, right? Knock them down. That's actually a proverb. Who would have thought? He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. He who answers before listening. You've probably heard it said too, God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we'd listen twice as much. Uh-huh. I always thought it had something to do with, anyway. Wow. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? So a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. So as we're being crushed, it's a spirit. So that's a really important one. So a man's spirit sustains him. I want to share with you something I learned from John G. Lake, through John G. Lake Ministries, a guy named Curry Blake. And it talks about, he's primarily healing ministry focused. And to give you a little background with this, John G. Lake lived in the late 1800s. And he actually started the healing room. Some of you may have heard the healing room. Spokane, Washington is actually where the first one was. John G. Lake studied the Bible, studied God's word. And he said, well, if Jesus says that I should be able to lay hands on the sick and recover, then they should be healed. But it also, of course, says, you know, it says the faith, right? It talks about faith. So John G. Lake actually was so successful in praying for people, laying hands and praying for people, that he literally emptied out hospitals in Spokane, Washington. And at his church, they ended up calling it a healing room. And when people would come into his church, he would invite people in if they were sick. He said, if you stay here for 30 days, you will be healed. He said, and if you're not healed in 30 days, I'll give you $100. Now keep in mind, in 1800, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money today even, all right? He never paid because everybody was healed because they did as he asked. He came, and what he did is he was instilling the word of God into them. He was showing them what the word really says. And what it says about healing, how it's God's will for healing. So it's neat. So what happened was when John G. Lake died, he had a prophecy. He spoke a prophecy. And he said, 25 years from the day that I die, my successor, meaning a person who was going to keep his ministry, kind of pick up his ministry and keep it going, outside of his family, that is. He says, my successor, there's going to be an attempt to kill my successor. So, as it turns out, there's a guy named Curry Blake who runs John G. Lake Ministries now. And when he was little, a year and a half or so, there was a family gathering, whatever. He ran out behind a car ended up backing over the top of his head. Okay, ripped off his ear. It just did not look good. And his mom who was very big into her Bible. As a matter of fact, Curry from a young age. His mom would have him read the Bible to her, and he would read the King James Version. So he said, until I was about 6 or 8 years old, I didn't know that thee and thou wasn't normal talk, you know, because that's what the King James uses, a lot of these and thou. But anyway, John G. Lake ends up having a child, gets married, has a child, and the child was born with a severe defect on her tongue. Her tongue had this big, I guess I'll cry like a cyst, whatever, and it was very thin, so that if it would get cut, it would bleed, and they'd just have to go to the hospital right away. She would bleed to death from just by cutting her tongue, and it was so big it hung out of her mouth. Okay, and so it wasn't a pretty thing. But sadly, she gets cut, goes through it, she dies. Okay, now Curry had been seeking to understand about healing through this time, you know, before his daughter died. And he'd called around to a lot of the healing ministries of the day saying, hey, my daughter's dying, you know, do something. Please pray, come do something. And no one responded to him. So Curry made a commitment to God at that point. And he said, God, if you teach me how to do this stuff, I will always be available. And to this day, you can actually call Curry Blake. There's an 800 number you can call, and he'll answer it 24/7. Now, it does answer with a voice message, which effectively says, If someone is about to die or has died, because he's seen people raised from the dead also, he said, you know, leave your message and I'll call you right back. And I know that when he's doing teachings, He's actually, during a break, he'll take messages like that and he'll go pray for people and come back and do his teaching. It's absolutely amazing. But one of the things that I want, so going full circle to where I came from this verse, what I wanted to share with you is this. I feel very strongly with this. I very much agree with this. We have three immune systems, okay? And this is a hierarchy. We have our physical immune system, our emotional immune system, and our spiritual immune system. In that order, in that hierarchy, all right? So when you have a strong spiritual immune system, it keeps strong emotional, it just passes straight down, right? When you're weak in the spirit realm, you're relying right here on your emotional immune system to keep your body. So, and we see that we see that a lot, right? We see people who are worried. What happens? They worry, they're stressed, they get sick, right? They get physically sick. Right? So that's why it's so important for us to be in God's Word and studying God's Word every day, so our spiritual immune system is strong. Because when that's strong, everything else is covered, right? It's an incredible thing. I've shared my testimony before, but I'll share it briefly because I know a number of you heard it before. But I endured like 5+ years of anxiety, fear garbage, which turned into irritable bowel syndrome. And in July of 2008, I went up to Dearborn, Michigan to see a guy named Dr. Roger Sapp. He was one of three speakers. This was a 3-day event. I'd never been to a hospital. I'd never been to a church where it had security around the outside. You know, it's kind of a rough part of town in Dearborn, Michigan. So that was a different twist for me. But over those 3 days, Dr. Sapp shared the word. He shared the word of God and was showing how, here's the scriptures that show God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be made whole. He wants you to be well. And then on the third day, he says, okay, have you heard the word? Now it's time for us to pray for people. And Dr. Sapp is a teacher. It's not come to me, I'm going to lay hands on you. He said, okay, out of everybody out there, and there's probably about 80 people at this event, he said, who needs healing? Well, pretty much everybody needs something, right? So everybody raises their hand. He said, who wants to learn how to do this stuff? I'm a doer, all right? My hand goes up. So I went forward, and he put us into groups. I was with a group of four. There was about four of us like that. So he got us up there, and he said, all right, now all you people, I want you to come forward to these groups of four, and tell them what's going on. And it was awesome, because as we prayed for people, we'd lay hands on them, and we'd feel heat, cold, tingling. We'd just feel the power of God moving in. And this is new for me, all right? I mean, this is right. It's cool. It was amazing. And we're seeing eyes open, we're seeing backs healed, we're seeing knees get fixed. I mean, it was cool, really neat stuff. So when we were done, then the four of us prayed amongst prayed for each other, and I was the last one to be prayed for. Remember, I was suffering the anxiety, fear, stress, and the irritable bowel. So I had them lay hands on my belly, and as they prayed, I physically felt things moving inside my body. And it wasn't my imagination, because a lady who had her hand right here, whenever I felt it, she'd go, she was feeling it too. And the best way for me to describe it is like a baby kicking. And I only from what I remember feeling, as my girls were in the womb, kicking on my wife's belly. But it was awesome. But before we left there, Dr. Sapp gave all of us just a word of advice, a thing that made a huge difference in my life. He said, all right, now for some of you, the devil's going to try and trick you and just say, that was just nothing. You just had a good feel-good time. You're still sick. Da, 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 da. He said, but all you have to do is reclaim your healing. And Dr. Sapp has a saying, it's this healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. So I'm feeling great. I get in my car. It's like a 5-hour drive. By the way, on that 5-hour drive up, I hit about every rest stop, the irritable bowel garbage, okay? And you get to a point where you're just stopping here, not because there's anything left. But it's just a train wreck. But on the way back, I get about 30 minutes into my drive, and I'm starting to feel that familiar discomfort in my belly. And I said, uh-uh. So I put my hand on my belly as I drove down the road, and I said, this healing belongs to me because of what Jesus was done. Stop. Just like that, it stopped. And at that point, I understood what Ephesians 6:12 tells us, which is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness. Okay? So it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for control of your spirit. And every one of us has experienced that in some different ways, either through like a depression or even just bad thoughts. They just go down the list. We've all experienced it in some way or another. And the enemy is after your soul. You're after your eternal soul. That's why we got to just spend so much time in the Word. And that's why a lot of times on Thursdays, I like to just open this up and say, okay, God, what part of the Word now it needs to be shared? And look where it led me, out of Proverbs. Because that's what God does. Because he's an amazing God. And he's an awesome, awesome God. Wow. I love when God does that. That's neat stuff. I got to find a piece of paper. Anybody have any comments, questions, anything you want to add to it before we get some? I got a bigger one here, Debbie. I need a big sheet. I need a big sheet. Here we go. I need a big sheet of paper. Oh, man, this is awesome. Thursdays are by far my favorite. And they are my favorite just because we've got people that really want to be here, really want to fellowship and just stand in the presence of God. Lord, I thank you for all those here in this circle. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are listening, will be listening on the radio to this recording. Because your word tells us, Lord, that when two or more are gathered together, you are there. I mean, I know God's with me when I'm alone, too. He's with all of us at those times. But by golly, I guarantee you, He is here now. He is here now, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. So, Lord, I thank you for these requests we've lifted up, that are lifted up today. I'll just go down my list here, Lord. I thank you for Linda. Thank you for the joy. What great joy you bring to everyone, Linda. God loves you, and we love how you just bless and serve. So I thank you that God gives you the peace and the strength and the endurance, and it goes for your sisters too, all right, to get done what you need to get done, okay? Because you got a lot to do, but you're blessing, and that's huge. That's absolutely huge. That is so good. So that's an awesome thing. And Debbie's always lifting people up, hardly ever lifting things up for you, but bless God, you are a powerful prayer warrior, young lady. You lift and get done. So I thank you, Lord. She likes to bring the things to attention, to our attention, that sometimes can, in our daily lives, can just be kind of lost. So, Lord, we thank you as we lift up your believers. And that all these fools, especially fools that are Christian against Christian, that just makes no sense. I thank you, Lord, that eyes are opened. That ears are opened, that minds are cleared. Because we're all called to be one body. One body in glory. And Lord, we also lift up all those people that are in the paths of all the disasters with hurricanes and just all the junk. But Lord, you tell us in Genesis 1, you gave us dominion over the earth. That means, Lord, that everything on this earth, we've got power. Your authority through Christ Jesus, we've got that power and authority. So we stand on that authority now. And Lord, we're thanking you. As the winds shall cease, as Jesus stood up in the boat and said, "Peace be still," and the winds and the waves stopped. So I thank you, Lord, that this Hurricane Irma that's coming down and all the other ones like that, Lord, I thank you that it turns back out into the sea, it dissipates, it drops from this Category 5 down to Category nothing. Just a little rain. For rain is a blessing. Rain is a blessing, but not like that. So I thank you, Daddy, that no lives are lost, that there's no property damage. We speak the result. We're just reading in Proverbs today how powerful our words are. So we're speaking that result. In the name of Jesus, we're speaking that. So, Lord, I thank you for Sandy and the blessings upon her, especially touching her husband, Lord. This garbage messing with his kidneys and that, we're speaking to the kidneys, the mass on his kidneys, and commanding in the name of Jesus, right, to go, to shrink and leave, and for his heart to be made perfectly whole. We're lifting up Jim Reckle for the same thing. Get out of there. Junk's got to go in the name of Christ Jesus. All this garbage, go. Right, must be healed in the name of Yeshua Christ Jesus. For those who haven't heard that before, Yeshua is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. So when Jesus walked this earth, they didn't say, "Hey Jesus," they said, "Hey Yeshua, come here, lay hands on me." Oh, and how many times would Jesus just say, "Your faith has made you whole," as we just speak that result? How good is that? Lord, I thank you for my mom. And for the James 5:16 of it, the effective prayers of the righteous avails much. My mom prayed for me through the years that I just walked away from the church. I was the young rebel. And now I'm an old rebel.
I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize for that. You don't need to apologize for it. Should I repeat that into the microphone? No, you're right.
I love you.
Jesus was a rebel. Come on. Jesus overturned tables, right, in the temple? Jesus was a rebel? I'll take it as a compliment.
Okay.
Whether it was meant that way or not. All right. And we thank you that you've finally got the torment of your grinder pump thing resolved. Resolved. Okay. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for our brother Todd. And Daddy, he's come and seeking you now. He's seeking you for that peace which surpasses all understanding. And he's not ashamed to say that he needs you. And that is the first and lasting step, brother, to you being fully made whole. So as we are all here standing in this circle, I want everybody to repeat this after me, please. Say, this healing belongs to Todd. Because of what Jesus has done. We speak the peace of God upon you, Todd. No more fear. No more stress. Full peace now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's that simple, Todd. That simple. You and I'll talk some more later, all right? Oh, but God is good. He sets the captives free. And I thank you, Daddy, that you saved Todd from just some massive injury stuff that could have happened. For Romans 8:28 declares to us that all things work for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And brother, I guarantee that you are called according to the purpose of God. Why? Because you've accepted Christ. And those who accept Christ have accepted the call. That's why you were spared from that. But we do pray for, what's the guy's name? You know? Oh, her name. Okay. Amy. All right. Well, then Lord, we lift up Amy for restoration. I'm sure she got banged up a little bit, huh? Well, we thank you that we lift up Amy for her healing. For her healing. Thank you, Jesus. Please do.
Using the plow, do not look back. Okay. And I'm thinking of the past, you know, the things that he's haunting you. You know, just don't look back at that. It's taken care of. You take care of all of that. So you are forgiven whatever you've done in the past. Right?
And as we forgive, as we are forgiven, we need to forgive also.
That's right.
So yeah, because these are the things that the enemy uses. That yeah. They become hooks.
And they're there to get them.
So thank you for slippery. Slippery in the Holy Spirit. No more hooks. No more hooks. Bless God. There's Allison. We're always glad you're here, Allison. And we speak the peace that you need, which my mom can talk to you about. Because God is good. God is good. You'll get through it. You know you will, but it'd be nice to have a little more peace. I know. He's driving yet?
One day at a time,
right?
One day at a time.
Oh, and Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Our brother Bruce is taken care of. This stuff they keep digging out of his body, Lord, it's got to be done now. But thank you for full restoration for him. Because he is made fully whole. Fully whole in the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Oh, good. We get blessed with Roger. Come on in, Roger. You're joining in, man. See? Whether you meant to sneak in afterwards or not, you're here. Roger, how can we pray for you today, brother? All right. We're thanking the Lord. We're going to pray for you some more on that too, brother. We thank you, Lord. Roger gets a brand new back. As these years of stress, years of work, just certain incidents that have happened with the Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you just fully restore that back. In the name of Jesus Christ, and be good. Full restoration for you, Roger. Full restoration for our brother Bruce. Yeah, man is right. But we're coming against infirmity, the sinus stuff and junk that's messing with Brandon and Scott and anybody else here, Lord. I thank you. We come against that in the name of Christ Jesus. We command it bow. We're under the authority and power in the issue of Christ Jesus. Sinuses, you relax now and you be clear. Perfectly perfect. No more. No more of that stuff. No more of that stuff at all. And you, young lady, Karen, you don't get away from me. We love you. And we're glad you're here. Dream, believe, and repeat is right. Dream, believe, and repeat. Yeah. That's awesome. I love your shirt. Mr. Babbling Brook here. Your dry spell's done, my friend. It's time to light that fire back up. Sometimes we find ourselves where we fall into a mode of playing defense against all the attacks that the enemy keeps bringing against us. Defense stops now. Time to go on offense. Make the devil pay.
That's what all this is about here, making the enemy pay. So, Lord, I thank you that you hear all these things and that your glorious hand touches all we have here right now. In the glorious name of Jesus, join me in the Lord's Prayer. Accept one. You got one? You got something else? What? Thank you. Thank you. You guys are so good to me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. How awesome is that, huh? How good is that? Brother Roger, help us roll in. This is good. Well, one of the things that we've been doing a little differently, because some of you have been here, we've been doing a lot of the music ahead of time. Actually, we did all our music ahead of time. All our music for Sunday ahead of time. And then that. However, I asked the praise band, do you guys want to pull a song out of what we're going to be doing tomorrow and to close us out here maybe? You think it might be kind of fun? Sure, why not? We always do this. Okay, this is a song from Third Day. It's called Born Again. And that born again is what we need to be doing every single morning, right?
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here. I was broken beyond repair. Then you came along and you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again. Feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time. Make a promise to me now. Reassure my heart somehow that the love that I feel is so much more real than anything. I have a feeling in my soul, and I pray that I'm not wrong, that the life that I now is only the beginning. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time. It feels like I'm. For the very first time. Wasn't looking for something that was more than what I had yesterday. And you came to me, and you gave to me life and love that I've never known, that I've never felt before. Feels like I'm born again. Feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time. Feels like I'm breathing.